D-Mace, Vingen, and Donick, 102.5 The Game. Willie Donick, Derek Mason, Adam Vingen, and David Janes here with you. The Predators are back in action tonight, hosting the St. Louis Blues. Puck drop at 7, pregame at 6, right here on 102.5 The Game. But in the meantime, we welcome in our dear friend, Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, who is presented by Old National Bank Get Old. Hi, Elliot. How are you?
Good. I want to shout out a listener, if that's okay.
Of course.
Bring it. Okay with you guys. I had a listener. His name is Jagar. He's on Instagram. And he just wanted to say, as a Preds fan, how much he appreciates this segment. So he's given me a high standard. Now that I've shouted him out, I hope I don't ruin it. But I just want, he said he tunes in every week so he can hear Predators hockey talk. He likes the segment, so I wanted to shout him out.
Well, thank you for doing that. That's great. So, Elliot, on Saturday headlines on Hockey Night in Canada,
Yeah. You
had a report about the New Jersey Devils being active in the league, and you said it is believed that Ryan O'Reilly and Steven Stamkos are on the Devils' radar. Now, we asked Barry Trotz about that report on Tuesday. He neither confirmed nor denied the Devils' interest, any conversations he may have had with Tom Fitzgerald. But how serious would you characterize the Devils' interest in Ryan O'Reilly and or Steven Stamkos?
Well, first of all, I would like to thank Barry for not burying me, so to speak. So I really do appreciate that. I think this. I think it's legit. I mean, I wouldn't have reported if I didn't think it was legit. Pierre LeBrun, I'll give him credit. He was the first to mention Stamkos. And I have heard Stamkos at times, but I will tell you I'm hearing more O'Reilly now than Stamkos. And, we'll see. I think at different times the Predators have shown interest in both players. I know they've really liked O'Reilly for quite some time. And I think he's a guy that they're really interested in right now. Now, we'll see what happens. As I mentioned, and you guys know, Steven Stamkos has say over this. Ryan O'Reilly has been assured that he has say over this. I think, I think the fit of O'Reilly in New Jersey would be perfect for what they need. Nico Hilscher is a bulked up guy, but he's still not the biggest guy. Jack Hughes, their number two center, obviously not the biggest guy. Down the middle, you need some bulk. And O'Reilly, who's also played wing at times, I think he's perfect for them, and I know they've liked them. So we'll see. Takes two to tango, Adam, but I definitely think there's something there.
Elliot, within that report on Hockey Night in Canada, you mentioned that the Devils are in a situation where they have to move money out in order to make anything work. And we were talking about this in the context of O'Reilly and Stamkos the other day. Which players are you hearing that the Devils might need to move in order to make these transactions work? We, for example, talked about Andre Palat. If the Devils wanted to make a deal with the Predators, Barry Trotz said he's open to taking on quote-unquote bad contracts in order to facilitate a trade, get a better return. We mentioned Palat. Who are some of the other players on the Devils roster who could be on the move to make these deals work?
Palat is the one I think a lot of people are talking about, but he has protection. And I think Dougie Hamilton is another one that people have been talking about in New Jersey, and he has some protection. So those are kinds of the names that people are looking at. And, we'll see. Palat has, I believe, more control than Hamilton does. So you have to maneuver around there. And the other thing, too, Adam, is that agents and players aren't dumb when they put together these lists. Like, I used to think when I was in my younger, moderately less intelligent days that you just did this thing kind of, I don't want to go here, I don't want to go there. I think now there's a lot of strategic play in it. And they kind of go through and they say, okay, I think Hamilton is half the league. They say, okay, now where would you absolutely not want to go? Okay, this, and this. Now, would you prefer to stay in New Jersey? Yes. Okay. Well, here's some teams we think that if New Jersey had to move you, they would try to go to. And so maybe there would be some teams there that you wouldn't necessarily put at the top of your list, but would be in positions where they might be places that New Jersey could try to move them if they had to, and you kind of block those two. So These things can be very challenging. Like, agents and players are very strategic in how they handle them.
Elliot, one thing we did talk about with Barry Trotz, this is more of a general manager question, but now that the NHL has abolished these double salary retention trades, how, based on the GMs you speak to, and I know you speak to most, if not all of them, how difficult does that make their jobs? Because Steven Stamkos, for example, would be a prime candidate for a double salary retention trade if that could still happen, but it can't. So how does that make transactions more difficult around the league in your reporting?
Well, the one thing we should mention, Adam, is that it can still happen.
Okay.
So the way it works, and I understand how maybe you got caught up here, but what basically has occurred is it's 75 days. Mm-hmm. Now, thanks to a podcast listener who asked the question, I checked with the league, and the clock does not stop during the Olympics. So basically, if the NHL trade freeze goes into effect for Christmas on December the 20th. So if you trade a player between now and December the 20th, before that freeze, you still could do it. You still could have 75 days before the deadline to have a double retention. But after the trade freeze, because it goes in for a week from the 20th to 27th, if any player traded then, they will not be eligible for double retention. And it will, like, I think, Adam, that right now it's still hard because there's a lot of tightness. But I think as the cap goes up, and, you know, we know the cap's going to 104 at least next year and 113 the year after, I think you could see a situation where this is less of a problem, but right now it's tight. Now, one of the things I wanted to mention about the Predators, Adam, is that you only get three retention slots.
Yes.
You know, you're only in a situation where you can get three of them. That's a bit of trouble for Nashville sometimes. And also, they've eaten a lot of buyout money because of Turris and Duchesne. So I've heard they're not overly eager to eat money.
Thank you for clarifying the double retention there. I do have one more question before hand it off.
It's confusing. Believe me, it's confusing.
Before I hand it off, look, you've been a reporter in the NHL and the NBA for a very long time. You've been a part of some ludicrous news cycles. I have to ask, where does Fitzygate going on in Vancouver with Quinn Hughes rank among the most ludicrous news cycles you've had to cover in your time as a reporter?
You know, you saw Spaceballs, ludicrous speed. Like, that's what this one is. Like, it is. Like, we were joking, we taped, like, so our pod comes out tomorrow, and, you know, we tape the thought line in advance, and we do the news later on tonight, and somebody, a fan, asked about, like, technically, over the Christmas dinner, could the Hughes brothers tamper with Quinn? Like, is there a rule against that? And we were joking, like, at the table, the Luke and Jack are allowed to call him Fitzy while Quinn has to stick to Tom. And if that's the case, they should be okay.
For people who missed it, Quinn Hughes, of course, in the news, could be traded by the Vancouver Canucks. Tom Fitzgerald, the GM in New Jersey. Quinn Hughes was asked about Elliott's report over the weekend and referred to Tom Fitzgerald as Fitzy, despite the fact that he is not the GM of the team he plays for. And that just sent Vancouver fans ballistic. How dare he refer to him as Fisty? But anyway, Willie, take it from here.
I know, it's crazy, man. The world is a crazy place, guys. It is just a crazy place. Place.
Elliot, one of the things I think about when you guys start talking about what some of the contenders need and things like that, teams that have been in the mix for several years, like the Oilers, would be the top of mind team that I think about when I ask this. Where they've been going to the well. They've been trading a lot of assets to try to load up.
Yep.
And I always ask myself, if you're a seller and the Oilers call you and they say, well, you know, we got some money problems and you need to take a bad contract and we want this guy or this guy, what do they actually have to trade that is of value to a seller?
You know, they still have, the guy they traded to Tampa was a really talented young player, Sam O'Reilly, in that Isaac Howard deal. So, I mean, if they wanted to, and I'm not sure they do, I do think they want to get younger. They have a first-round pick in 2027 that they could move, Willie. They've got Isaac Howard, a young player like that, and if they wanted to, they could move. I'm not saying they would, but if they wanted to, they could do that. So they have a couple. And, you know, I do think along those lines, they tend to be very careful about those things. And that's why I think the Oilers aren't just out there, like, jumping at the first thing. I think it's they know they have limited assets, Willie. So they want to make sure if they do it, they do it right.
But I think a Predator fan who hears that, right, might be a little bit underwhelmed. He's like, I'm supposed to trade you a Ryan O'Reilly, and the first round pick might be a lower pick if Edmonton catches fire.
Oh, wait,
like,
are you sorry? Yeah. You talking about that? So did you say? Excuse me. Did you say Devils or did you say Oilers?
I was saying Oilers, but it could apply to any team that really has gone, you know, down this process several years. They've been buyers for a long time, and so there's not a whole lot in the well in terms of draft picks and prospects that people really like.
Well, I think the thing that the Predators have that's going for them is that they don't have to do this with Ryan O'Reilly. Like, they don't have to. You know, like, that's the one thing. Like, people are like, oh, they should. You don't have to do this now. Now, I think the thing that really helps Nashville in this situation is that teams like O'Reilly. If he wants to go there, there's going to be teams that are interested because he's still playing well and he's so incredibly respected for the effort that he puts in, right?
Oh, he's playing great right now.
So, like, I think Nashville's in a really good position. They don't have to do it, so they can say, guys, like, if you want us to do this, you have to make us do this. And that's a good spot to be in. I mean, I think a lot of us talk about O'Reilly because we know there's interest and we know teams want him. And I think with Trotz saying that we're kind of like a rebuild now, or showing by his actions they're in kind of a rebuild now, you think you can get pieces for them. But the bottom line is they don't have to do it if they don't want to do it.
One thing that I'm intrigued with, we here have not really gotten into who's going to be on the USA Olympic team, even though everybody really got into the Four Nations last year. When it comes around, there'll be a huge amount of interest.
Yeah.
But I notice up in where you are, every single spot on the team is debated, it seems like, every day, right?
Yeah.
I was watching Connor Bedard last night. He had another good game, and I know that's a guy that you're talking about. And sometimes I think this, with a lot of fans, they view it as who are the 12 most talented, maybe goal scorers, right? Like, who are the skillsiest people that you could put on there? But it's got to be the pieces together. I'm fascinated how that process works up there.
Well, you know, I think that, remember when the Dream Team first started in basketball, they just took, like, the 12 best players, right? And, like, that Dream Team, I mean, my God, like, nobody was touching them. But as the rest of the world started to catch up, at least at the elite level, at the top of the top, like, these other countries, they could at least make a national team that could challenge the U.S. The U.S. realized that you had to have people there that were willing to accept certain roles, right? Like, you needed guys who could do, like, guys who weren't afraid to sit on the bench because someone's not going to play, and guys like, you know, Draymond Green or Tyson Chandler that were more defenders or rebounders than they were scorers. So, like, everybody adapts. I think the one thing that this tournament showed last year, and, you know, with the fact that the Olympics rink is going to be slightly smaller than the NHL rink, like, at the Four Nations last year, Willie, everybody checked. Like, the best players, they checked. Everybody played defense. Everybody. Everybody was a two-way demon. If you were only an offensive player there, they couldn't put you on the ice. And I think that that's what we've kind of learned, is that if you can't play two ways, you're not going to play. And that's the biggest challenge with Bedard. It's not that he's a bad player or anything like that. He isn't. But he hasn't yet shown, at least in the eyes of a lot of people yet, that he can play, defend at that level. And you know what? To be honest, I still might put him on the team. Like, he's that good. But that's the question everybody has, Willie.
We were curious with this. A lot of the fans, because of where the Predators are, and they're playing pretty well right now. And they're really not that far out, even though there's a huge mass of teams in this pack. So it's still seller mode until otherwise noted. But we try to point out how far we are from the actual trade deadline, even though last year it seemed like some teams benefited. One guy I can think of is Mikael Granlund. Who was it that when Dallas went out and got him before the Four Nations? They got him in there, played a couple games, he could get situated, and then he could take that break to get even more acclimated to Dallas and then played really well for them. Do you think that might apply again, that even though the trade deadline is not until March, that you might have some activity leading up to it with that theory?
Yeah, I think I definitely think that there are teams who believe that, 100%. It's just that, as you talked about, there's very few teams that are out, Willie, and teams don't sell when they're not out. Like that Eastern Conference, I've never seen anything like it before with all those teams still in there. It's crazy. And as a result, nobody's waving the white flag. And that's part of the problem. Now, I like I said, the Christmas trade freeze is scheduled for 9 days from now. And I've had a couple of people say, don't be surprised if something happens before then. But, you know, I don't know what that could be. I just think, Willie, that the more teams there are in it, the harder it is to make trades.
Elliot, if you don't mind, we do have a listener question for you on our text line.
I don't mind at all.
This is a Nashville thought line.
Yes, a Nashville thought line. Matthew wants to know, because we were talking about O'Reilly and Stamkos. Matthew wants to know what you've heard about Jonathan Marchessault in potential trade discussions.
You know what? I think Marchessault is a guy who's kind of like the other two. Like, he has full say, and last year, Marchessault was adamant that he was not going to give up so soon. And I haven't heard him as much, but I still think his name has kind of been out there in the sense of, like, I think what Nashville has to do with a guy like Marchessault and a guy like Stamkos, they've got to kind of know, even O'Reilly, they have to know if they wanted, first of all, would they be willing to go? And if they wanted to go, where? And then can only Nashville, or the other thing that could happen is somebody could call and say, I really like Jonathan Marchessault, and they'll Trotz will say, look, I don't know if he's going to go to you, so you got to give me a reason. And if he gets an offer that he likes, he'll go to Marchessault or Marchessault's representative and ask. But unless it's changed, and I admit I haven't spoken to Marchessault this year, unless it's changed, Marchessault was adamant that he didn't want to give up so quickly, and he wanted to be part of the solution.
Elliot, before we let you go, we did talk about the Olympics, and the St. Louis Blues are here. I assume that Jordan Binnington still has the inside track to be Team Canada's goalie, although he has had a rough season. So is there any chance someone like a Logan Thompson, hell, even a Scott Wedgwood, can work their way in there and make it an interesting decision for Team Canada?
Well, I think this. Based on what he did last year in the final game, Adam, if Jordan Binnington had a save percentage of 200, I would still put him on the team. Mm-hmm. Like, I would. And I think he starts Canada's first game. I mean, who knows what happens between now and February. But if you're asking me right now, he's on the team and he's Canada's starter. He gets the chance to prove. Like, you have a longer runway at the Olympics than he did at the Four Nations. He gets the first chance to show he should be the guy. I think Logan Thompson will be on Team Canada. I think Scott Wedgwood is probably fourth. I think Darcy Kemper is the other guy I'm looking at right now for Team Canada. But I think Binnington is there. And I'll say this. I think in the eyes of most Canadians, hockey fans, he's not very good right now, but there were people who questioned him last year, and he played one of the best games of goaltending a lot of us have ever seen. So nobody's questioning Binnington at the highest level. By the way, I also wanted to mention, at the Board of Governors, I briefly had a chance to meet Bill Haslam. We just said hello to each other. He was there with Michelle Kennedy from the Predators, and I got a chance to meet him briefly. I wanted to interview him, but he was very politely said, not yet. I'm still working on what I'm working on, but just had a pleasant chance to say hello and shake hands.
All right, now, Elliot, you got it next. Sometime when you see Michelle, you've got to ask her to turn the clock back to the early 90s when she and I were both basketball players at Vanderbilt. Our numbers are not in the rafters for our great play, but we had a fun time. She and her team, they were a good team, but we knew each other a long time ago. So ask her about her basketball career sometime.
She said your nickname was Brick. Is that correct?
That's cruel. I got to talk to her when she gets back.
Brick Donick does have a nice ring to it.
I made that up. Don't blame her. I completely made that up. Yeah.
Elliot Freeman, Sportsnet NHL insider, has been our guest on D-Mays, Ving, and the Donick. He joins us every Thursday during hockey season, and he is presented by Old National Bank. Get old. Elliot, great stuff as always. Thank you so much for your time. We'll catch up next week.
All right. Take care.
615-737-1025, Brick Donick. It does roll off the tongue. What was your field goal percentage? Your career field goal percentage, Willie?
Off the top of my head, I don't know.
We'll have to look it up.
Not awful. Not awful.
Okay.
I think a low number of attempts. Low number of attempts.
That is true.
Good free throw percentage. Okay. Like 80% free throws.
And that's important. Yeah. It's important to hit your free throw.
Not a lot of shots, though.
Okay.
Nobody would foul me.
Because you were so good at the free throw line. 615-737-1025. We will react to what Elliot had to say. We'll take your thoughts as well. 615-737-1025. Our show is presented by Bax Homeworks, which transforms kitchens, bathrooms, and living spaces into places you can't wait to come home to. Get a free estimate now at BAXHomeworks.com. Join Chase and Big Joe tomorrow from noon to 3 at Dunkin', located at 2234 North Mount Juliet Road in, well, Mount Juliet. Stop by with a stuffed toy and donate it to a child this holiday season. 1025 The Game has teamed up with the Nashville Children's Alliance to give all these awesome stuffed toys donated by you just for stopping by. You'll be qualified for a 4-pack of tickets in the all-inclusive 501 Club at Bridgestone Arena for a Predators home game. A special thanks to the Metro Nashville Police Department, the Catalano Group, the Bluemont Group, Family Leisure, Thompson Machinery, Richmar Florist, Right Time HVAC, and Relodyne. For more information and a list of Dunkin' locations that you can donate a stuffed toy, visit thegamenashville.com/toy. Oh, man, that's a mouthful. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you, but it's for the kids, so that's okay. Derek Mason and Adam Vingan here with you. Willie Donick has departed the desk here at Barrel House. He has to get ready to call the game on FanDuel Sports Network. That coming up at 7 o'clock. You can also listen to that game right here at 7 o'clock with Pete Weber. And pregame starts at 6 with Max High Maintenance Hers. Always right here
that he is.
On 102.5 The
Where
Game.
Where did he go?
I don't know.
He probably
to put his makeup
he's
on.
He's probably harassing somebody else.
Yeah, to put his makeup on. Max and I have a bit of a feud because he does not like it when I wear his headphones sometimes.
He don't like you mess with his stuff.
I just noticed he left me a note that says, don't even think about it, Vingan. HMH, High Maintenance Hers. I literally just noticed that. I didn't even mean to bring up High Maintenance Hers before I read that note.
Oh,
we love
goodness.
Max. We love Max on the program.
Y'all got a transition beef.
Yes, we've got a beef going on. But you know what? Max, he's a good person. He's a great broadcaster. It's all love. But he is a little high maintenance. And that's okay. So let's get back into the Titans. Wes on our text line. We have so many Wes's. Mm-hmm. Wes on our text line said, in my opinion, Sunday was such a bad day for the Titans. Cam looked really out of sorts. He played awful. Sanders outplayed him, and we won the damn game so stupid. I would have much rather had Cam have a great game, leaving no questions about him or Sanders with a loss. Instead, we are celebrating a win. I don't know who is. We are celebrating a win against another bad team where your first overall pick got outplayed by the 5th-round pick. Not a good look. Sunday is making me really question whether or not Cam is the right guy. I hope he gets better, but losing hope with each game.
I mean, no one's celebrating a win, not even Cam. He's not.
We talked about that exactly. Early in the show. You heard him after the game. He's not thrilled. I mean, look, I'm sure he's pleased that the team won. But you could hear clearly he was not overall pleased with the performance. The win is a win, but you could tell he was not pleased with how the team played overall, including himself.
No, he's not, and he has a right to feel that way. Again, he's not, you know, throwing a party because they won a game. He is disappointed at the play, and he's disappointed at his play. He even said so. He needs to play better. 2 weeks ago, that was the worst I had seen the Tennessee Titans play
against
in very
the
long time.
Jaguars.
Yes.
Yep.
Where it just they should have just forfeited the game. Really. I thought last week they played a lot better, but it still wasn't what you would deem a good game. They end up winning a game, which in turn make it a good thing, but there were still a lot of things that were left to be desired. And Cam told you. Obviously, the running game was the bright spot of the offense. The bright spot of the offense. So, they didn't have to, do a lot of things necessarily in the passing game because they were running so well. Even though Cam threw the ball 28 times, I think and listen, he needs to get better. It's a good sign that he didn't look like he did 2 weeks ago. This week, it wasn't great, but it wasn't 2 weeks ago. So again, which is a good thing for me if I'm looking at Cam Ward. But I understand he still has a long way to go. But you got to understand too. Look at who he has been playing, the defenses he has been playing. And just go across the board. The Cleveland Browns against every team they played, they've made every quarterback look bad. They made it a struggle for just about every quarterback that they have went against. And Cam is no different. Luckily for him, they got the win because the running game was something we haven't seen all season. Up until this point, and it carried them to a victory. So he didn't have to do as much. But, yes, he does need to continue to develop as a quarterback. But, again, I think with some fans, y'all, let the season play out. I think the fan base are on this roller coaster, and they're on a roller coaster, and they put themselves on a roller coaster. We know this team is a bad team. We know Cam's a rookie quarterback. We know he doesn't have much around him. But every week – the fan base is on this roller coaster. He's the quarterback. He's not the quarterback. He's the quarterback. He's not the quarterback. And the one thing that hasn't changed is the people that he's playing with.
Right. We talked about this, I think, last week. Nate Tice, who writes for Yahoo Sports, mentioned just how rare it is for a team's top three pass catchers to be fourth-round rookies or worse, meaning fifth round, sixth round, seventh round, or undrafted. That's not precisely what he said. I'm trying to remember it off the top of my head. But either way, it's an interesting dynamic, just as you mentioned, Derek, because I think it's important to have the proper context of the caliber of defenses Cam Ward is playing, the players he has at his disposal to throw to, and keeping that all in context. But there are people who think that if you mention those things, you're making excuses for Cam Ward's poor performance. Like, Cleveland gave up 31 points to the Tennessee Titans. Mm-hmm. That's not a good performance. Tony Pollard, who was a shell of himself all season long, had a career day against the Cleveland Browns on Sunday. So some may say, Cleveland's defense must not really be that good because Tony Pollard ran all over them. But it's one game. It's one game. Good defenses can have bad games. Mm-hmm. Great offenses can have bad games. But there really is no – like, if you are on one side of this argument or the other, if you are, like Wes, who is growing increasingly concerned – that Cam Ward is not going to pan out. Or if you are on the side that Cam Ward has a lot of talent, he's getting zero help. It's going, like, you are probably not going to be swayed by your opinion one way or another. So we can point out the context. You can say we're making excuses, and that's fine. But I like to traffic in nuance. Mm-hmm. Cam Ward has not been playing well this season. We can all agree on that. You know me. I'm a numbers guy. Mm-hmm. I look at the numbers. The numbers are bad. I am not a film grinder. Mm-hmm. I see plenty of people breaking down film of Cam Ward. Look how great this throw is. Look how great that throw is. He's going to be great. But when I look at the film, I'm like, I'm not qualified to analyze this. So I say, sure, that throw was good, I guess. But the numbers are the numbers. So, look, because Cam Ward isn't lighting the NFL on fire, and it certainly didn't help the fact that the one quarterback who was mentioned along with Cam Ward throughout the draft process, who fell to the fifth round, had one of the best performances statistically of a rookie quarterback in quite some time. That didn't help either.
Well,
but,
yeah,
but, you know.
Yeah, one quarterback going against. And, again, when – and this is what I think people run into this in everyday life. When someone asks you a question and you answer it, then they say, well, that's an excuse. No, it's not an excuse. It's the reason why things happen, in my opinion, or the reason why I did this, in my opinion. So it's not an excuse. It's what I'm telling you. You may see it as an excuse, but it's the reason. I am not making excuses for Cam. I'm just giving you reasons why I believe we can't. And it's unfair, and you got to be really a brilliant quarterback sort of guru to look at him and say, oh, he's not going to make it. And I say that because when you talk about Cam, it's not just Cam. You can never get away with just saying, Cam's doing this, Cam's back. You got to look at everything else around him. We haven't talked about the drop passes that he's had. You know, guys running the wrong route. Offensive line not blocking as well. And he has his part in it too. But when you look at him, you can't just definitively either way. That's why I said, listen, he's not where they want him to be. He has a long way to go. But he is showing signs to me. In the midst of all of this sort of cloudiness with this roster or the, you know, he doesn't have the, you know, sort of same roster that maybe another rookie quarterback had when they came in. Or guys that, you know, in their second year have. He's dealing with a roster right now that is made up of a bunch of young guys on offense. That's what I'm saying. Made up of a bunch of young guys that are still trying to find their way through this league, and they're hoping that they can grow with him. I'm talking Gunner, Elik, DK, guys like that that the organization feels will be a part of this with Cam. Peter Skoronski, he's coming into his own now. They still got to find guys on the offensive line. You know, Moore's not doing well. I mean, he played okay this past game, but that was a lot of double teams and everything else to try to take Myles Garrett out the game, and they did a fabulous job at that. They still have things they need to upgrade at. So if I know that, then the way I'm looking at the quarterback and grading this quarterback is totally different. I can't sit here and say, you know what? He's a bad quarterback. He's a great quarterback. Because what's around him is sort of clouding a lot of what we're trying to evaluate. He makes a great pass downfield. The receiver drops it. You can't blame that on Cam, can you? But people look at the stats and say, well, he was only 14 for 28 for 117 yards. Well, if you throw in a few of those catches, he'll have over 200 yards and the numbers will look a little bit better. But that's not the case, you know. So when I'm watching Cam Ward, I'm not making excuses for him, because if he turns out not to be a guy, I will say that loud and clear. He's not the guy. But I know in this league that I'm not going to say it after 1 year when I know the lack of talent around him. Not to say he doesn't have talent, but the talent that he has is still growing with him, and it's young. And now you're asking him to play winning football. He's only doing what he can, and he still needs to get better at that.
615-737-1025. Our phone and text lines are driven by WilsonCountyHyundai.com. We will get more into Cam Ward and the accuracy thing tomorrow, because that is something that Wes mentioned as he was listening to our response. He said it's really hard to correct the accuracy issues. He's not very accurate, missing wide open guys. We'll talk more about that tomorrow, because I have some thoughts on that, and I know Derek does as well. 615-737-1025. 1025. We will wrap up the show next. Derek and I are live at Bridgestone Arena. David James is back at the Busy Bee Plumbing, Heating, and Air Conditioning Game Nashville Studios, home of the $99 yearly Beehive membership, where the buzz is always about great service. D-Mace, Vingan, and Donick, 1025 The Game. Derek Mason, Adam Vingan here with you. Predators hockey coming up next. Pre-game with Max Herz at the top of the hour. The Predators host the Blues, the St. Louis Blues, for the first time this season. The Predators going for their sixth win in their past eight games. We'll see if they can keep that momentum rolling tonight against a Central Division rival. We will be back in studio tomorrow. We will have Chad Withrow from Hot Mike with Hutton and Withrow at 4:20. We'll have Take It to the Bank to end the week. So be listening for that. Our friend Greg Roberts texted me earlier and asked if we have Music City Bowl tickets to give away. As is my understanding, Greg, and other people listening, you will have a chance to win Music City Bowl tickets tomorrow with Robbie and Rex Road, starting at 6 o'clock. But my understanding is that we will be giving away Music City Bowl tickets all next week. So if you want a chance to win before next week, be listening to Robbie and Rex Road starting at 6 a.m. tomorrow. But if you listen to our program and want a chance to win, start listening or keep listening next week, because we will be giving away Music City Bowl tickets, Tennessee versus Illinois at Nissan Stadium on December 30th. Going back to Cam Ward, one texter says, if you could go back and see what the Carolina Panthers fans were saying about Bryce Young during his 2023 season and part of the 2024 season where he got benched, they were having the same concerns that some of these fans are saying now. Why don't you check and see what they're saying about Bryce Young this year? Patience can be a virtue. That from Joe.
Yeah, it can be. How much patience would the Tennessee Titans show with their franchise, hoping franchise quarterback? We talked about it earlier. They're going to give him, you know, the time that they feel he needs, considering what he has been through, especially in his rookie year. Next year is almost going to be a start over for him, depending on what type of offense they bring in here. And even if it's somewhat the same offense, is still being the philosophy of the offense may be a little bit different from coach to coach and what they emphasize and what they don't emphasize. So that in itself means he has to start back to at square one again. So listen, Cam, he has a lot of developing to do. But I do see, you know, within all of this chaos that has been going on over there, meaning the losing and the firing of coaches, I think he has been a bright spot, a light, not a bright light, but he's been a light for that team at times. And it doesn't always look like you want it to look, but I think he does things within the game that shows you he's growing.
Lenny on our text line says, I am 61 years old. I have been watching football for 51 years. I have seen a lot of great quarterbacks, a lot of quarterbacks that everybody thought were going to be great, a lot of quarterbacks that nobody thought were going to be great and be great. I have a bad feeling about Cam, and I genuinely hope that I'm wrong, but I don't think that I am. I love the Titans. I moved here 10 years ago and have been a fan immediately. This is not easy to take, but I will continue to be a fan.
Again, it's the quarterback position has changed in 50 years. And how you evaluate a quarterback has changed. And again, you know, hey, listen, Cam may not work out. I don't know. And he may work out. But I know it's going to take some time. What do you think, you know, after a year or two had, you know, Jacksonville gotten rid of Trevor Lawrence, you know, after a year or two? Because he was sort of in the same situation, firing of coaches. He wasn't playing well. They were, you know, people in Jacksonville were wondering whether, you know, they made the right pick with the first overall pick because he was supposed to be this transcending player, and he was playing nowhere near that. But where does Jacksonville find themselves now? They find themselves in a hunt for a playoff berth.
Yeah.
And it seems like now they picked the right coach to match the quarterback that they believe, the franchise believe, is their elite or franchise quarterback. The Titans, they're the same way. They're trying to find a coach now, hopefully, that can match who they believe is their franchise quarterback and can develop him as such that he can go from a franchise quarterback to an elite quarterback. So I'm not, listen, I am not worried about Cam Ward. I'm more so worried about are they going to be able to develop and put guys around him? Because for the last couple of years, they haven't been able to do that.
By the way, Bryce Young has a QBR of 45.9, which puts him in the bottom third of qualified quarterbacks. That's better than Cam Ward. He had a 50.7 QBR last season and a 34.1 QBR in his rookie season. We talked about this a couple of weeks ago. I think that if Cam Ward had the same trajectory as Bryce Young, we would all be disappointed. Not saying that Bryce Young hasn't taken strides. Mm-hmm. He had a rough start to his career, but he has still been a disappointment. So I'm hopeful that Cam Ward can be better than Bryce Young. I do have to say, Derek,
yes,
my in-and-out waiting all night for burger take has, you know, my burger shaming, whatever you want to call it. I've irked some people in the text line.
I'm sure you have.
I'm just saying.
It doesn't take much for people to get irked.
No. Yeah. Irking, you know? Irking is easy to do. It's easy to irk. But I'm just saying, no disrespect to B-Man's daughter who waited 4.5 hours for an In-N-Out burger the other night. I need a Michelin star burger to wait 4.5 hours.
Aren't they the Michelin star of the burger world?
Some people say, some people might say that In-N-Out, and look, for all of you who think that I'm just taking shots at In-N-Out, I'm going to be there. I'm going to go to In-N-Out. My wife wants it already. So I will go, and I will eat it. I like it. I'm just saying, I wouldn't wait all night for it. That's my only point. We'll see how the Predators do tonight. They have won 5 of 7, looking to make it 6 of 8 against the St. Louis Blues. And we heard from Elliot Freeman, a lot of interest in Predators players, of course, around the league. Ryan O'Reilly, Steven Stamkos, Jonathan Marchessault. A lot of interest, obviously. But as I said yesterday, I'm glad that they've been playing entertaining hockey. I'm glad that they're winning games because it's been hard to watch the Predators over the past year and a third, season and a third. It's been hard to watch. So good for them for playing. Look, Barry Trotz called the players out. He used some colorful language in the Tennessean to do so. And the Predators' record since that article published is quite good. So
what would they... Because I was trying to pull up their schedule. They've won, what, 6 out of their last
5 of 7.
5 of 7 games.
Going for 6 of 8 tonight.
Exactly. So what would it take for – because the remaining – what, they got – we got 3 more weeks within this month, somewhere around there.
Yes. They take a break for Christmas. They
have
take a
how many
day
games
break.
Before the month is done? Maybe 10?
Okay.
10 games here around there. Let me see. 1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11. Say 11 games,
okay,
including tonight.
Yeah.
So what would it take for you to completely change or the fan base to completely change their minds in regards to what they may do during the trade deadline?
You know what? That's a good question, but I'm going to do my Coach Willie answer and take it one game at a time. And that starts coming up next. Predators and Blues coming up at 7. But pregame with Max High Maintenance Hers is coming up next right here on 102.5 The Game.
Be loved, love on your people. Have a safe, blessed, and wonderful Thursday. I love you. The team loves you. You hear that song. Don't you forget about us, because we will never forget about you. See you tomorrow, 3 p.m. on 102.5 The Game. Peace.